The danger of Christmas and a Christmas service is the sentimentality of it, the nostalgia of it, the simplicity of it, the childlike wonder of it, even like Nicole talked about. I want to challenge us today to think a little bit deeper, because that story is true, that these wise men, maybe it was three, we don't know. We just say three because there were three gifts. But these wise men, they came to worship Jesus. They were invited to come and see by this star, in a way. Shepherds were guided by a star to come and to see. And we hear these stories every year at Christmas, and for a lot of us, they just sort of wash right over us, and we have this sense of nostalgia and this sentimentality that says, oh, that's nice, that's a cute story. But there is so much more going on in this story at a deeper level. Today we're going to read from John 1, and we're going through a series in our congregation every week through the book of John. And Jesus asks the people who are following him a question, and I want to ask us this question as well. What do you want? What do you want? What are you looking for? What are you seeking? We could ask that question certainly before Christmas. What do you want for Christmas? Right? And some of us, young and old, would have answers, I'm sure, of things that we want for Christmas. But I'm calling us today to move beyond just the gifts, which are wonderful, the decorations, which are great, the childlike wonder, which is excellent, and to really think deeply about what is it that you want? What is it that you are after in life? Why are you here today? Why do you celebrate Christmas, even? It's my conviction that every human soul, every one of us, who has deep longings inside of us that drive us. And I think for a lot of us, they come out at Christmas in stronger ways than we're even used to on a normal basis. We have this desire for significance, to be meaningful, for our lives to have meaning, to feel important, to feel seen. Anybody ever come to a Christmas gathering and feel unseen? Or we want some sense of security, to know that everything's going to be okay. The perfectionists in the room long for security, to know that everything is all right. They've got it all nailed down and it's going to be okay. Or we have insurance policies and plans for our futures because we want to know that everything is safe, or we want to be part of a family that is safe for us. That's a longing of the human soul. Or probably all of us have experienced some sense of the longing for approval, to be loved, to have relationships of meaning, of people who look at us and say, I love you for who you are, and I accept you. I love you. You're important to me. You are special to me. We want this. It's a longing in the soul, this quest for significant security and approval or love. And so I ask again, what do you want this Christmas? What is it that you're after in your lives? What I want us to see in the next few minutes is that Jesus says, come to me. He says, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Follow me. Come and see. He doesn't promise all the answers, but he does say, You'll find meaning in me. You will find the significance and the security and the approval in me. So come to me. Come and see is the invitation that we see in the book of John. If you have a copy of the scriptures, you can turn to John 1. Otherwise, we'll just throw it up on the screen there for you. We're picking up in John 1 where John the Baptist, this wild man of a prophet, has disciples of his own, and he has been telling people to be on the lookout for the Messiah, to be on the lookout for the Christ, who is going to come and rescue Israel. Verse 35 says this, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? I don't think he asked it like that. He asked, what do you want? What are you seeking? These are the first words of Jesus in the book of John. They're important words. 2,000 years ago, they're important words this morning. What do you want? What are you seeking? What are you after? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? That's a weird question, answering a question with a question. What do you want? Where are you staying? That's weird, right? What's going on here? What they're saying is, we know that you're a rabbi, we know that you're a teacher, and it's customary for disciples to follow a rabbi, to follow a teacher. And we want to know, Jesus, where are you staying? What are you about? Are you staying in a palace, like the story just talked about? Are you staying in a school of some sort? Are you a person of means? Are you a humble person? And what we know from the Christmas stories that we all know so well is that Jesus was born into poverty. Not long after that, he was a refugee in Egypt, fleeing persecution back in his hometown where he was born. He was born in a borrowed home, laid in a manger, which most of us have these image of like wood with like these crisscross legs, but most likely it was stone. Some sort of thing that was carved out, a trough, a feeding trough of some sort. This is the type of king that Jesus is. And so these disciples are asking, where are you staying? And he invites them to come with him. He says, come, he replied, and you will see. This idea of seeing runs all through the book of John. Who's going to see it and who's going to miss it? Again, this morning I ask you, come and see. Will you see it? So they ask him, where are you staying? He says, come and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Random, normal fact just gets thrown in here. I think John wants us to see this is a normal day in the life of Jesus. He's staying probably in a borrowed house. We know later that he's called homeless. We know that later he doesn't have means. There's rich women who come along and who are disciples and who support his ministry. And he says, come and see my normal life that I'm living. Come and see that I'm not a wealthy king with great power. I'm actually a humble person living in humble means. Come and see. Come and spend time with me. Come and you will see the type of king that I am. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. And so Cephas and Peter both mean rock. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth. Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Clearly somebody from, you know, I don't know, Saucon Valley. Can anything good come from there, Nathanael asked? I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. If you're from Saucon, I'm sorry. But you sense the disdain here, right? And so what does Philip say? Now he picks up on the language. Come and see. I'll show you if something good comes from Nazareth. Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. I sense a little bit of kidding in Jesus' voice, but also he's praising Nathanael and he's telling him, I know you, Nathanael. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip even called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you. And now he's speaking to all of them. There's this plural sense here of you. He says, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. We'll talk in a minute about what that's all about. So Jesus has these four people who start following him. Four people who need to change a little bit of what they're doing and change directions to follow him. You see that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. Andrew already had a worldview established, a philosophy established, an ideology established. He was already in a school of thought. But he sees Jesus and he's like magnet to him. Something draws him to Jesus. So we see that for Andrew to follow Jesus, he needs to leave a little bit of that behind. He needs to be open to his ideology changing, to his philosophy, to his worldview shifting a little bit towards following Jesus. And so maybe today you're here and I'm asking you, what do you want? Perhaps to see Jesus, there's something in you that needs to loosen up a little bit and say, you know what? Maybe I'm not as latched onto that as I thought I was. Perhaps I need to give Jesus a shot. Then Andrew goes and gets his brother, Simon, who becomes Cephas or Peter. You see that Peter was a fisherman. We know this from the other gospel accounts. He throws down his nets and he starts following Jesus when Jesus and Andrew call him to follow him. We see that part of Peter's journey to knowing Jesus is being changed in his identity. Do you see it? Jesus, as soon as he meets him, says, I'm going to change who you are. And he needs to be open to that, to follow Jesus. Then they go and they travel and they get Philip. Philip says, come and see to Nathanael. Nathanael's probably Bartholomew, one of the 12 disciples. You see Philip and Bartholomew listed together throughout the rest of the Gospels. So most likely Nathanael is also Bartholomew. Philip gets Nathanael and he says, come and see. These guys all have to leave their towns. They have to be willing to leave their presuppositions. Be willing to leave their stereotypes about anything good possibly coming from Nazareth. And so this morning I put this before you to say, you're here, you're in the room. There's some inkling of something in your heart that's trying to follow Jesus that wants to know a little bit more. And I say, perhaps it's time to lay down some of the stereotypes and look with fresh eyes. Now, who is it that can follow Jesus? Do you see it in this story? Who is it that gets to follow Jesus? And the answer is anyone. Anyone. Jesus did not have a big list of things people needed to check off to be allowed to follow him. There was not some religious paradigm they needed to go through to follow him. They didn't need to give a lot of money to follow him. They just needed a little bit of curiosity. A small little bit of faith that says, okay, I'll give you a shot, Jesus. And what we see pretty quickly is that a few of these guys believe him immediately. They're on board. They're in, like I know some of you here this morning are. You believe Jesus for some time now. Or maybe you believe just enough that you're like, all right, I'll give him a shot. I'm here. And Jesus says, come, I'm going to show you more. I'm going to show you deeper things that you didn't even know you had questions for. But do you notice that he also allows skeptics to come? Do you notice Nathanael says, what the heck good can come from Nazareth? And Jesus is not offended. Jesus actually cuts right to his heart and says, I actually know you. Jesus is not intimidated by your skepticism or mine. I've been a Jesus follower for 31 years of my life at this point. I still have my doubts and my concerns and my fears. I go to Jesus with him. He's not turned off by that. He doesn't say, get away. And so when Nathanael presents this skepticism, Jesus is like, all right, let's go. And actually, I know you. And isn't that both a comforting and a terrifying thought at the same time? That Jesus knows you? That Jesus knows me? If we were to go to him right now and talk with him, he'd say, I saw you when you were sitting in Dryland UCC. That Christmas Eve morning when you came to see your niece sing the song or whatever it is. He knows our stories. He knows our journeys. He knows you. He knows all the background stuff, all the garbage we don't want anybody to know. All the stuff we try to hide, all the stuff we try to keep buried in our search for full life, the things we don't want to tell people, the things we're embarrassed about, the shame, the darkness, the good things, the bad things. And he says, I know you. I know you. Let's go. Come with me. Come and see. Come and see where life is really found. And so these guys, they go and they follow Jesus. But what's interesting is they didn't have any record of who Jesus was or what he was going to be like. They just went. We actually have the ability to look back and see what they discovered along the way with him. We have the ability to look into the scriptures and see who this Jesus really was and what he actually did and who he really is. So when they go to him and they say, yeah, okay, I believe a little bit. He says, you believe because I've already blown your minds a little bit that I know you. He says, but you're going to see even greater things than that. You're going to see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, what is that about? What is that about? These are some of those, anybody ever watch Jesus movies from the 70s? Anybody seen these like, or like weird European Anglo Jesus with like his long hair and blue eyes and he always speaks in a very formal way? You ever seen these? My fear is when we read words like this, it's like, you shall see angels ascending and descending, like, you know, Monty Python voice. Like, it's like, what is happening here? What is Jesus saying? What is he talking about? He says, you're going to see incredible things, more than I've already shown you. I'm going to blow your minds with what you're going to see. When Jesus is making this statement that you're going to see angels ascending and descending, he's quoting from Genesis 28. You all know that? Okay, probably not. All right, so in Genesis 28, going all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 28. Why is Jesus going to Genesis 28? Genesis 28 is the story of the people of Israel. The people of Israel were Abraham, then his son Isaac, then his son Jacob. Jacob would become renamed Israel, and he'd become the 12 tribes of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had all been promised by God, I'm going to make you a people, and you're going to be a light to the nations. I'm going to meet you right in the middle of your community. I'm going to come down and my presence is going to dwell there with you. Heaven and earth are going to meet in you, people, Israel. I'm going to dwell with you and people are going to see how you worship. They're going to see how you live and they're going to know me. You're going to be a light to the Gentiles. You're going to be a huge family that blesses the nations. And so Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. Get to Genesis 28, you have Jacob. Jacob is wandering through the wilderness. God has called him to go to a new place. And one night he falls asleep. And he lays down with his head on a pillow. I mean, his head on a rock. Terrible pillow, right? Lays his head down on a rock. And he has this really vivid dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder of sorts ascending up to heaven. And at the top of the ladder, or near him, the text is unclear, he sees God. He sees the Lord in some way. And he sees these angels going up and down this ladder. And while in this vision, God speaks to him and says, I'm going to do what I told your grandfather I was going to do. I'm going to give you the land. See that land where you're laying your head, Jacob? That's going to be yours. That's going to be yours. It wasn't his land yet. He's talking about the promised land. And he says, you're going to spread out across the land. You're going to fill this land with so many people, and you're going to be a light to the nations. You're going to bless the nations through your family. So Jacob has this incredible vision of this ladder with angels on, and God's speaking to him, and then says this in verse 15 of chapter 28. God says this, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So why is Jesus, some thousand years later, telling his disciples, man, you think you believe now? Wait till you see what's going to happen next. You're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What's he doing? He's reappropriating the story of Jacob to himself. Do you see it? He's saying, okay, where Jacob laid his head, God said, that's going to be the land. And what Jesus is saying is, everywhere I go is going to be God's land. I'm reclaiming it for him. You see, Jesus is saying, I'm the better Jacob. I'm the better Israel. And this is going to be the promised land everywhere that I set my feet. You see, Jesus is saying, there is so much more going on in me. I have so much more to offer you than just knowing that you were under the fig tree, Nathaniel. I have meaning to offer your life. I have God. I have heaven at my disposal. I have fullness of life to offer you. I want to change your life and the trajectory of it. I have it all, and I want to show it to you. Come and see. Come and see. And so the things that were promised to Jacob, I believe Jesus is promising to his disciples. He says, I am the gate of heaven. That ladder that goes to heaven, he's saying, that's me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John tells us, Jesus said. He said, I am the way to God's glory, to God's presence in the fullness of eternity in heaven someday. He says, I am the gate of heaven. Jacob wakes from this dream and he says, man, this is the house of God. And Jesus says, I am the house of God. You want to dwell with God? Come and dwell with me. Listen, you're longing for security in your life like I am. There's no safer place than in the home of God, in the family of God. You're longing for joy. You're longing for meaning. There's no more meaningful place than in heaven, it's called. And I don't just mean out there someday heaven. I mean real life, full life, eternal life with God now. Not just in quantity someday, but in quality now. And Jesus says, I'm the gateway to that. I'm the gateway to that. He says, I am the house of God. You're longing for a family to be a part of? Come be part of my family, he's saying. And then you see that he said to Jacob, I'll be with you always. Man, this is Jesus' promise to us again this morning. This is what Christmas is all about. This is Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. He says, I am going to be with you. Friends, you can be facing the most difficult things and know that God is present with you. And not just present with you, but God wants to be friends with you. And again, I'm going to be very clear. That does not mean life is easy. It doesn't mean we don't have difficult questions. Sometimes God is strangely silent. But when we spend time with him, when we know him, we can hear his voice even through the silence. God promises to be with us, and it's all through Jesus, the gateway to heaven, the house of God, Emmanuel, God with us. So again, this morning, I'm asking you, what do you want? What are you looking for this Christmas? What are you longing for? Where are you trying to find significance or security or approval and assurance and love? And can I tell you and invite you, come and see. Come and see it in Jesus. Whether you're a believer, whether you're a skeptic, come and see. So if you're not part of our church family on a regular basis, thanks for being brave and coming today. And can I tell you, this is what we talk about all the time here. This is the gospel. This is the good news that God's God and we're not, and that he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to be with us, to come and be present to us and offer us an eternal life with him that starts now and goes on through the ages. Come and be a part of what we're doing here. Come and see Jesus.